On November 27, 2014, hundreds gathered at Coles Hill in Plymouth, Massachusetts, overlooking the famed Plymouth Rock, to commemorate the 45th annual National Day of Mourning. The event is sponsored by UAIN, the United American Indians of New England, and features all Native-only speakers. It is the one day when Natives get to speak for themselves about the myths and realities of Thanksgiving. The ceremony begins, as always, with a traditional prayer to the Four Directions. Fellow reporter Dave Goodman also joined me. He interviewed some of the attendees. Here, he speaks with John Derek Novell, a non-Native who came to show support for the Native perspective and to condemn racism in present-day America.
I notice your sign says, from Plymouth to Ferguson, to resist is not a crime. What do you think are some of the connections between Day of Mourning and the recent events in Missouri?
Well, it's... I'm sad to say, but it's the country still has this institutional racism problem. It has this institutional idea that this was and still should be a white male-only country. And what I say is with Obama, it was this thing of Obaman democracy against Jacksonian democracy, but it's beginning to fizzle out. I'm sorry to say this, but I feel Obama's like a prisoner of these forces in the White House, and this country has got to realize that it's a country of inclusion of all people. That's what it always was. It's what made it, you know, what it is. And so it's a fight for inclusion, really. And Ferguson and all this are part of just a continuing, ugly, recurring American nightmare, not American dream. And so it has to be rectified and changed, and hopefully peacefully. If not, another is violence in which we're all in trouble. I'm worried about that.
After the opening prayer, Munanam James, co-host, was the first to address the crowd. He told the story of his father, Wamsuta, who was invited to an official state event for the holiday in 1970. Wamsuta was planning on telling the Native side of the story of this day, which upset the organizers and led to the first National Day of Mourning.
Now, what was it that got all these people upset? Wamsuta used as a basis for his remarks one of their own history books, Mort's Relation, which is a pilgrim account of their first year on Indian land. What really happened at the first Thanksgiving, or as some of us call it, the first Thanks-taking, according to popular myth, the Indians, that's us, and the pilgrims, that's them, sat down and had a wonderful dinner. Everyone lived happily ever after, the end. Many times we have been asked, what is the true history of Thanksgiving? This comes as no surprise. The truth has been buried for 395 years. In 2020, Plymouth is planning to celebrate 400 years of the same myth. And I don't think anyone from UAIN, or that's United American Indians of New England, is going to be invited to address that banquet. And if we are, rest assured that no advance copy of our remarks will be sent. But here is the truth. The first Thanksgiving did not take place in 1621 when the pilgrim survivors of the first winter sat down to dinner with their Indian friends. The first official Thanksgivings, feasting in Massachusetts, was proclaimed by Governor Winthrop and the Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1637. He did this to give thanks for the safe return of the men from the colony who had gone to what is now Mystic, Connecticut, to participate in the massacre of over 700 men, women, and children of the Pequot Nation. About the only true thing is that these pitiful European strangers would not have survived their first several years in New England were it not for the aid of the Wampanoag people. What Native people got in return for this help was genocide, the theft of our lands, and never-ending repression. In 1970, very few people would have given any thought to the fact that the indigenous people of this hemisphere do not look upon the arrival of the European invaders as a reason to give thanks. Today, many thousands stand with us in spirit as we commemorate our 45th National Day of Mourning. And to our beautiful Native youth, this is what I say. Learn about and remember what your ancestors went through to bring you here. We are like the dirt, we are like the sand, and we are like the tides. We shall endure. Now, in the spirit of Crazy Horse, In the spirit of Metacom, and in the spirit of Geronimo, we are not vanishing. We are not conquered. We are as strong as ever. Hope.
Matoan Monroe, the other co-host and wife of Munanam, welcomed everyone to the gathering.
We want to welcome all the Indigenous people who are here, and we stand here in solidarity with the struggles of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. We greet our many allies from the African diaspora, whether you are from Dorchester or Jamaica or Nigeria. We welcome all of our Latino and Asian and Arab and white allies. We send a special shout out to our Palestinian sisters and brothers whose struggle is the same as ours. I saw a sign earlier, from Ferguson to Palestine, occupation is a crime. That is right. We welcome everyone here from the Two-Spirit community. We say bonjour to our Haitian friends, especially those who've come from Brooklyn today. We thank all of you who have traveled a long distance and sacrificed to get here to be a part of National Day of Mourning. And we also have an extra warm welcome today for our union sisters and brothers, especially those who are here from Boston School Bus Drivers Local 8751. Now we are gathered into the circle. We think today of so many who cannot be with us, whether they are ill or could not travel, or whether they are imprisoned. We remember the homeless people, especially right now thinking of those who are staying at the Long Island shelter in Boston and have been displaced even from that shelter. And yet the city of Boston thinks it will be okay to waste billions of dollars on having the Olympics in Boston. We feel the presence of many who have gone before us into the spirit world. Think now of the spirit who is standing beside you. We think of the many murdered and missing Indigenous women whose lives have been lost in the epidemic of violence directed against Native women. We think of the 43 students missing in Ayotzinapa in Mexico, and of the thousands more who have vanished, mostly because of US economic and drug policy. We think of the families in Washington State trying to heal from the school shooting near the Tulalip Reservation there. We think of the families that have been torn apart because of the deportation policies of the US government, and of the people who have died in the desert trying to get here. We think of Michael Brown and the people of Occupied Ferguson, and we think of all the young men and the young women, the children who have been murdered by the police. No mother anywhere should ever have to mourn the death of a child due to the violence of the state. We demand an end to stop and frisk and to the ongoing violence against Black and Brown women and men in the U.S. You know, most of us here are not very complicated in our needs. We want to love whoever we want, raise our families in peace, drink clean water, eat nourishing food, breathe clean air. We need jobs and decent schools. We need more affordable housing. We need to make a living wage with real benefits. It's all too easy for us to talk about the many negative things that our people deal with. But I also see youth who are serious and working hard to get an education so that they can serve their people. I see elders who stop and take the time to teach the youth important things that will carry them into the future. There is so much beauty in our cultures. We can seek inspiration from the heroic youth and students who are largely leading the way in the life and death struggle to save the earth. Youth and students are leading the way in the protests against police brutality from Oakland to DC, from Ferguson to New York City and Boston. And we know today that people disrupted the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Huh? Thousands of people turned out in Boston on Tuesday night, and in New York City, protesters blocked many streets and bridges. And this is not just going to end. This is going to keep going on. You know, sometimes things seem so hard, like they're never going to get better. But things can and must change. We have no right to give up, to lose hope, or to stop struggling. We have an obligation to resist. From Ferguson to Plymouth, protest is our right. Ho!
It is not only First Nation peoples of the U.S. that address the 45th annual National Day of Mourning. Juan Gonzalez is from the Council of Mayan Elders. Without mentioning the word capitalism, he talked about the system that creates greed, which is the main problem facing the peoples of the world.
Our ancestral homeland is mourning today. To all our relatives, we say, we are walking the same struggle with you. And to the deaf ears of the oligarchy, transnationals, and corrupt governments, we say, we know that you are afraid, because your only response is to use your patriotic mercenary armies and police forces against us. To the oligarchy, transnationals, and corrupt governments, we warn you, you have forgotten that as people, we have walked a long resistance in defense of who we are, who we were, and who we will be. We never be tired of sowing rebellion where you cut our corn. We never be tired of lifting a string where you impose machinery of progress, destruction. The Council of Ahiqap elders have been telling us, and our earth grandmother is in agony. We've been hearing the plight of all the creatures that cohabit in our mother earth, of her gray gushing wound due to plunder and pollution of the air, land, and waters, and its hopeless aftermath. Because we have been abusing her, desolating her forests, deserts, oceans. We are wounding her so badly that she may no longer be capable of sustaining us. The demanding greed of the oligarchy and transnationals and corrupt governments and our glut of consumerism have brought us to this havoc of near extinction. So one question remains. Are you, people of the United States, willing and ready to stop the demanding greed of the oligarchy, transnationals, corrupt government, and the glut of consumerism? You may wonder, why this question? Well, because the United States is the home of Wall Street. We must truthfully examine ourselves to see how we are a part of this greed way of life, how we are supporting the genocide, how we contribute to the agony of Mother Earth, and how stop all our irresponsible behaviors, no matter how inconvenient the changes are. Someone from around here once said, "Don't ask what your earth mother can do for you, but you can do for your earth mother." We must open-hearted come together as Maya, Lakota, African, Russians, Palestinians, Jew, Mestizo, Latino, to share our rebellions, struggles, and resistance. Let's put our minds together and see what life we can make for our children. Tatanka iyotake. Her grandmother's pain is our pain. Her rage is our rage. And you know what? We are as strong as ever. And you know why? Because we are warriors. And warriors fight. Together we will stop this havoc and stop our own extinction. We are the children of this ancestral land. We are the spirit of this land. We ask the Creator to give us life so we all can meet again here in 2015 to share what we did to stop these full soldiers of greed. Maltiosh Tat, Maltiosh Nat, Maltiosh Ahau, Maltiosh Ela.
Bert Waters, a native from Cape Cod, is 82 years old and has been attending the National Day of Mourning for nearly 20 years. He has the honor of reading the written greeting that Leonard Peltier sends every year. But before he addressed the crowd, I had a chance to speak with him. I asked him what keeps him coming back every year.
Well, my ancestors are Wampanoag, and I'm a Wampanoag. And we came from this area, but basically the inland area, from New Bedford and the Nemasket area. And that's why I'm here, because our people did a lot of the fighting. This is, I don't know if anybody knows it, but the King Philip's War is the most bloodiest war that they ever had on this continent, per capita. And that includes the Civil War, which was almost 900,000 people were lost in the Civil War. But this war was more bloody per capita. And we drove them right back to the Connecticut Valley and fought all along the way. We lost because they had the thunder sticks, gunpowder, and we didn't.
So how do you feel about people gathering here every year on this morning?
Well, we like it. We've had hundreds and hundreds of people here, and the coverage is good. It's just to keep people aware of what happened and that we're still here. Wampanoags are still here.
This is from Leonard Pelletier. Greetings, my relatives, friends, and supporters. I was thinking about the national holiday, Thanksgiving, the other day. I won't even go into what a horrible shame this American holiday is based on. Instead, I will just let it remind me of the common bond I have with all my brothers and sisters of the earth. Even if Thanksgiving, the holiday, is based on an incorrect portrayal of history, the concept of being thankful is a universal truth. I mean, let's face it, being thankful, grateful, has been part of Indian nations much longer than the invention of a holiday. I admit there are days in here when I find it very hard to be thankful, but it does not take much to bring it back for me. Most days, I get cards, letters from people all over the world. Sometimes I can even smell the soil, the pines, and sometimes even fry bread in the paper that is sent to me. I won't lie, it has been a rough time lately, but I am hopeful that is changing. My people have always had a deep and connected relationship with the sun. And I realized the other day just how much I missed the sun. When I had the sun's light upon me, I felt stronger. These walls hold out the sun's energy, and it weakens me. When you miss something, it's easier to be thankful for things you do have. I guess my point is that we can find the things we need in places we may not expect. I can always pray. This can never be taken away from me. And through that prayer, I can keep the sun and hope alive. And so, on this day, Thanksgiving, I will choose to be thankful and not to celebrate tyranny. I will also pray for you and with you. I pray for each and every one of you, whether you support me or not. I pray that your lives will be full of meaning and you will find new ways to learn. I pray that each one of you will find a way to protect our Mother Earth. She is crying out for us to hear her. I pray that you will listen to your inner wisdom and let it guide you to make choices that will help each other, and that you will be examples of those still learning their way in this life. I pray that when others make bad choices, you will help them find positive solutions. I pray for understanding in times of misunderstanding. And yes, I pray very deeply, honestly, that I can go home for a little while before I cross over to the spirit world. It is harder for me to physically see well enough to write letters these days. So please forgive me if I don't write back. It is not that I don't want to. Know that I am often sitting and thinking of you and being thankful for all of you. Your old, thankful friend and brother, in the spirit of Crazy Horse, Leonard Pelletier. Mitakyu Ayasin. That's Lakota.
Leonard really needs us. When you go home today, or on the bus, or wherever you are, I want you to go to the website of his defense committee. It's just leonardpelletier.info, and get information about him and see what you can do so that he comes home to us again. We can't let him die in prison.
Matoan Monroe, with a tearful plea to help release Leonard Pelletier from prison. Eneru Nakita is from the Caribbean. She talked of a history of conquerors even before pilgrims and got people really fired up.
We suffered all of this 100 years before Plymouth Rock. That came later. The Plymouth landed here. So we already knew what they were going to do. They landed here. Already Mexico had been occupied. Already all of South America, Central America, our Mayan relatives, which are our relatives. Already the Mapuche people, the Inca people, had suffered the oppression of this empire. It's still going on. Kid yourselves not. It is still going on. And what the message that we bring to the people here today is to let you know that my people, I'm part of the United Confederation of Taino People. Finally, there's a confederation of Taino people in the Caribbean, of Caribbean First Nations. And all those member organizations and all of those groups are saying we stand in solidarity with all of you and all of our native relatives and our relatives of kindred spirit. Because from what I've seen, we are all, at this point now, living on a reservation. We're all living on a reservation. Everyone is suffering in this country. We stand in solidarity with you. We stand with you. We march with you. And our message is, for you to continue. Don't give up. Strengthen your ranks. Strengthen your ranks and stand against injustice anywhere and everywhere that it exists. Stand against it. Fight back. Take back what is yours. You have every right to do that. Take back everything. You want to be sovereign? Behave like a sovereign people. Act like a sovereign people. Walk like a sovereign people and fear nothing. It takes courage to fight back. Well, get that courage. Fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back.
The crowd chanted, anxious to get marching through the streets of Plymouth, but still one last speaker remained. Stephanie Hedgecoach of the Cherokee Nation talked of the Native struggle against the Keystone XL pipeline.
All of the reservations on the northern Great Plains and Rocky Mountains have been fighting against this pipeline. And they're now joined for the first time by their white neighbors, some of the farmers and ranchers who've named themselves the Cowboy and Indian Alliance. They had a march in May and in D.C. And they've had demonstrations out west about which we've heard very little so far. 3 weeks ago, the House voted to approve the Keystone Pipeline. And it was narrowly defeated in the Senate. Some of you got to hear the brave Lakota Dakota brother Gray Cloud sing an honoring song from the balcony. He was honoring the no voters, and that they arrested him for that. In response to the House vote, the Rosebud Reservation issued a statement calling that vote an act of war. In the words of Thurgood Marshall, the Native nations in this country are legally domestic dependent sovereigns. The Rosebud president said, we're sovereigns, but no one's consulting with us. We will defend our lands and people. We need to keep our eyes open on this struggle and our ears open for what's going on, because it may come to physical battles out west. We need to plan how we can support them and show solidarity to the struggle. The water's our life. Keystone XL threatens the Missouri and Yellowstone rivers and the groundwater of the biggest aquifer on the planet, the Ogallala Aquifer, that extends from Montana down to Texas onto the Great Plains. We need to fight to save the life of our Mother Earth. No fracking, no more profit system.
As the marchers left the hill for the streets, I asked a couple of participants why they were here.
What brings me down here is to try to spend the holiday more so reflecting on the meaning of it and hopefully gain a better appreciation for a few things.
They are trying to protect the earth, and they're very glad to have people more and more these days understand their story, which is that this was their land to begin with, and they welcomed the Europeans, and they were rewarded for that by having most of them be killed and having their land taken away. So that's why I'm here.
National Day of Mourning occurs every year in Plymouth on the Thanksgiving holiday. It tells the story of this day from a Native perspective and is organized by UAIN, the United American Indians of New England. For more information, visit their website, uaine.org. UAINE.org. Thanks to Dave Goodman for providing some source material. I am Chuck Rosina, and thank you for listening.